One day I was working through my stuff of my youth, and I began to wonder, what had my dad been like when I was an infant? I knew my mother had had a hard time because I had had colic and kept her up many a night. I heard about it for many a day. However, I didn't know how my dad reacted. And a little while after I was wondering about that, I was going through my baby book. As I have done from time to time as I was growing up, my mother was very diligent to write down everything, even though I was not the first child. But she had written down my first burp, my first word, my first step. She had everything written down. And I was reading through this and I came across something I had never seen before. It was just a little note. It said, as soon as Daddy comes home, he picks me up and walks with me and sings to me. As soon as he begins to sway, she lays her head on his shoulder and they dance together for a long time, my mom wrote. That note told me something I did not know about my father. He was a lover. He loved his daughter, and he was not put off by my colic. It was a great comfort and a thrill to learn that about him. God has also written us a baby book where God tells us all the things that God has done before we were conscious. And guess what? God tells us that he was not only in a relationship with us, but God has been in a divine relationship with God's self. We call that divine relationship the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Before any of us were, before creation, there was God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They constituted that divine relationship marked by love and their delight in each other. There was no time. The Bible says that time was created for man in the creation. God had no need of time because God always was, always is, and always will be. But then at one point, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit decided to create. And that is the first written record we have of God. In the beginning, God created. The Bible tells us that God created, but it was void. Then the Holy Spirit brooded over it. I can imagine the Holy Spirit hovering over the divinely created soup. And the act of creating began in the mind's eye of God, hovering, hovering, until God was absolutely ready and creation began. God said, "Let there be." You know, we have a lot of theories of how the earth was created or how it evolved. And the most popular, the most well-known other than the creation is the Big Bang theory. And I have no problem at all with the Big Bang theory because when God spoke throughout history, it's recorded that it sounded like thunder. So how much louder of a bang could it have been when God enthusiastically calls out, "Let there be!" In my mind, that theory is very congruous with the thought that creation was started with a bang. Later, Genesis records that when creating human beings, God said, "Let us create," referring once again to the eternal relationship between God, the Godhead, not three separate gods, one God in relationship with three personhoods. Not persons, lest we think of them as totally separate and independent of each other. We're going to get into trouble if we do that. If we begin to think that God the Father is separated from God Jesus Christ and God Holy Spirit, we're heading for polytheism, many gods. Not so. They are forever dependent and forever joined as one. John tells us that in the beginning was the Word. Jesus is the Word. It is Jesus who is the voice of God, the Word of God. So God, our Creator, in three, the divine relationship, were all present and active in the creation, brooding, creating, and speaking. In our readings today, we read that God constantly interchanges references to the Godhead as singular as well as plural. Isaiah 6:8 also says, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and whom will go for us?'" Us. Paul in Romans refers to the three in our relationship as children. When we cry, "Abba, Father," it is that very spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Abba, Father, Abba, Mama. And if children, then heirs of God. And if heirs, then joint heirs with Jesus Christ, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all in one. John writes that God so loved the world, God sent his Son, whom we believe, and that we must be born of the Spirit. Forever singular, one God, forever plural, Father, Creator, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Trinity is one of the most difficult attributes of God for us to grasp, mainly because we are linear thinkers, right? We think in a line. First A happens, then B happens, and then C happens. How often does a busy mother or employee at least think, but usually cries out loud, "I can't be in two places at one time"? It's true. We can't. We're limited. We're limited by time and space and who knows what all. That's just how it is. But God does not exist with human limitations. And it stretches our limits to try to grasp the concept of three in one, but is very necessary. Jesus taught it. He was in the Father, and the Father was in him, and the Father was in the Spirit, and the Spirit was in him, three in one. And this has got to be so because our ancestors, our Christian ancestors, were converted Jews. And their biggest concept that they lived and breathed was the scripture that talked about the Lord your God is one God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. So foundational to Jewish beliefs and thus fundamental to Christian belief is that there is only one God. Christians are monotheistic, not polytheistic. There is one God. Isaiah 45 says, "I am the Lord and there is no other. Apart from me, there is no God. I will strengthen you though you have not acknowledged me." Deuteronomy 4:36 says, "You were shown these things so that you know that the Lord is God. Believe him and no other." And finally, 4:39 says, "Acknowledge and take to heart this day that the Lord is God in heaven and above and on earth below. There is no other." Many sects have tried to change this. Some say Jesus is not God, so therefore he's separate. Jesus is more than human, but less than God. The Spirit, they say, is not a person, but a force, a power. Yet how can one grieve the Holy Spirit, as Paul warns us not to do, if the Holy Spirit is not a person with emotions? The Holy Spirit does bring us power, just as Jesus brings love and forgiveness, but that does not mean that Jesus is limited to being love and forgiveness any more than the Holy Spirit is limited to being the force. We must not try to fit God into our understanding, but rather let the Holy Spirit expand our thinking to embrace what it is that Scripture actually teaches and tells us about God. Like my baby book, God's Word. God is one God in three persons, however God defines three personhoods. Because there is only one God, God alone should be the object of our affection. When I try to explain the Trinity to a young crowd, I usually take out a pen. In fact, I may have done this during my last year, I'm not sure, but since it's likely not everyone was here, let me show you again. When I realize my illustration, I do realize my illustration of the pen lacks a lot of the illustrating the living God. The pen, after all, has no life in itself. Nonetheless, it does illustrate how three can be a part of one. Each part of the pen is a separate one itself and has its own function. The tip forms the words. The ink is the life force of the pen. It gives the word form and substance, and the casing encompasses the pen. All of its parts. Each part is separate, but no part is pen without the other part. It all has to be together. You cannot say the word God and not have it include the Creator, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Just like you can't refer to a pen without including the tip, the ink, and the encasement. God has three personhoods, not three separate persons. No one can say Jesus without including the Holy Spirit and the Creator. No one can say Holy Spirit without including Jesus and the divine Creator parent. No one can say the word God accurately and not include God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There are not three gods. There is one God with three different identities and functions. The Trinity is a tri-unity. The personhoods of the Trinity are equal in essence, yet different in their functions. The personhoods of the Trinity are equal. The Father Creator originates or parents. The divine Abba, Ada, Mother, Father, God. The Son reveals to us our divine parent, and the Spirit points us to Jesus and vivifies the Scriptures. Every mention in Scripture is God as three equals with different functions. Ephesians 1:3 tells us that everything comes from the Father through the Son by the Holy Spirit. This is important to us because God exists as three personhoods, so if we see one, we see all three. That is what Jesus taught when he was here. I and the Father are one. The one who has seen me has seen the Father. That was not just wordplay, it was truth. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one. We no longer see the Son. We have never seen the Father except in the words written in the Bible. Like my baby book, had my mother not written down what my father was like, I would have never known. If he had died before I grew up, like some fathers, then my only connection to my father would have been the words and stories that my mother could tell me about him. The Bible says that Scripture is given by God through the Holy Spirit, and John tells us that Jesus is the Word. Those words reveal the Father, the Holy Spirit, and the Son. The Holy Spirit working on us and in our minds and in our hearts, giving those words further power to communicate to us all there is to know about the fullness of God. We are dependent and the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit in order to know God. Praise God this morning that our one God, one Spirit, one Son, and one Abba Adda left us a divine baby book so we could know God. Thanks be to God. Amen.